Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song. I feel like we could probably just give an invitation right now. And wow, what more can be said? What a great, great music program today. Each one, I appreciate the hard work that they put into preparing and the prayer for the right message to be presented in song. And so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 20, John chapter 20, and if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 20, a lot has taken place as you read here in John chapter 20 leading up to this, but now we're just going to be reading the two verses, verse 19 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing that it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for this privilege, this opportunity that you made available to each one that's here to be here. And Father, now as we look into the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, and we look at this passage of scripture that reveals quite a bit of truth for us today, I pray that you would open up each and everyone's heart and mind to receiving exactly what you have for them as individuals and for us as a church family. Pray that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The same day, this would have been the day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. That day, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus had resurrected, and some had gone to view the empty tomb. Now 10 of the 11 apostles were assembled together for fear of the Jews, the Bible says in verse 19. But that same day, Jesus met with them. As Jesus met with them, and what I want to preach to you this morning and get across, with the resurrection, Jesus established the Lord's Day. With the resurrection, which is a day that's on our calendar that we have adopted as the United States of America, the Christian calendar, we have this date, which is Easter Sunday. On this day, Jesus established the Lord's Day. He knew how important it would be for his disciples to see him and to hear his voice. We take just a minute to look before what was taking place in their lives and then to look to see what happened right afterwards. He knew that they would need to see him, the resurrected Savior, and to hear what he had to say to them. You see, before they would hear from the Lord, they had forsaken him. As he had been taken from them, arrested, they had forsaken him and they had fled for fear of their own lives at this point. No doubt they had kept sight of what was taking place as he was tried, convicted. Even though he had not committed any sin, placed on the cross of Calvary and crucified. Now they were living in fear. The Bible says there in verse 19 that day at evening when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were scared to death. They were wondering what would take place. I love what the account Luke gives us. This very same account over in the Luke in chapter 24. In verse 38, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" So we find that not only the Bible says that they were living in fear, but they were troubled. And they had wrong thinking. This had all come about because they had seen Christ crucified on the cross. They had no faith in who Jesus was. They were troubled. Their thoughts must have been, he must not have been our Messiah. When they saw him crucified on the cross of Calvary, then they lost their faith in him being the Messiah in whom they believed would come to lead them to power, to an earthly kingdom. They were blinded to this New Testament church age. Even though he had revealed it to them as he had been teaching them, but they had been blinded to it, and now they see their Savior crucified and died, troubled, and had wrong thinking. Troubled, no doubt they were wondering, what now? Because the Bible says that they had left all to follow him. They had put their whole life into thinking that he was the Messiah. I mean, they had committed themselves. They had left their place of employment. They had even turned away from unbelievers and even family. And they had put their all into following the Messiah, the Christ child. And now, troubled. He must not have been who we thought him to be. The Messiah. Will we be persecuted? Will we have to die the same death? And they were hiding for fear that the soldiers would come and take them and they would be the next on the cross to be crucified. Troubled. Troubled. Is there really a God? Should I even believe that there is a creator God? Especially when all around me and the teachings of evolution and the teachings of the world and human philosophies, many are troubled today. Because they don't know whether to believe in a God. Does he exist? The philosophy would be, if he exists, then why do bad things happen to good people? Why would he allow me to have to go through what I'm going through or been through? Does he know who I am? Is he even real? Have I believed lies all my life? Troubled. That's what they were. They were troubled and had wrong thinking before they saw him. Even after they had walked with him, even after they had been taught by him for some 3.5 years, They had saw him raise the dead. They had seen him bring sight to the blind. He healed the lame. There was sign after sign. There was miracle and wonders and sign after miracles and signs. Even after that, when they saw him die, Satan had a victory in their minds, and they were troubled. Yeah. But then after Christ met with them, in John chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, then were the disciples glad. In Luke in chapter 24, we find here in verse 40 and 41, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? They were so excited. They were overwhelmed with joy and wonder after seeing the nail scars in his hand, the nail scars in his feet, the scar in his side. They realized everything that they had been taught up to that point was true. After they met with him, after they heard his voice and seen the nailed, scarred hands. One other thing that he did when he met with them, verse 45, in the book of Luke, he says, then opened he their understanding, took away those fears, took away those doubts, reinforced what he had already taught them, reinforced what they had put their faith in. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The same scriptures that we have today. Old Testament at that particular time. Because he revealed that he was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. He was the Messiah that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And he revealed to them, he gave them understanding into what they had as the scriptures at that time. Can I tell you, since that day, after the apostolic age, we had the completion of the Bible, this New Testament Bible, and today we find that he continues to give us understanding into the scriptures that we are to live by today. The key, the beginning of the Lord's day. The key then is the same key to humanity today, the resurrection. The beginning of the first day of the week being the most important day, especially for all believers, but for every man, woman, and child. Our great nation here that has adopted the Christian calendar used to put a lot more emphasis on the day that Jesus Christ established as the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. A weekly confirmation of our belief in a resurrected Savior. Not just on Easter, praise the Lord that we have that, but a weekly, it's the first day, it's what Jesus established as the Lord's Day, a weekly confirmation of our belief in a resurrected Savior. And it's just as important to us today as it was to the disciples 2,000 years ago. The Bible says in Acts in chapter 20, during the apostolic age when the scriptures were being completed, in Acts in chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says upon the first day of the week, in verse 7, chapter 20, verse 7, they understood it even then in this transitional period of time. It was a church age. Jesus came, he established his church. He put the emphasis on that day, that Lord's Day, the first day of the week being Sunday. He was the Lord of the Sabbath, and he established the Lord's day as being the first day of the week. And so we find here in this early church, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. It's been going on for some 2,000 years because it's what God's established. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. It's throughout the New Testament. The 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." It was for all the churches. It's for a global New Testament church. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, and as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." The emphasis there being placed on the first day of the week. Easter, the resurrection, was Jesus establishing the importance of the first day of the week as the Lord's day. The importance for all humanity during this New Testament church age. Even John on the island of Patmos, John who wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and who wrote the book of Revelation. For the suffering, for the cause of Christ, he was placed on the island of Patmos by himself. Even on the Isle of Patmos by himself, suffering the persecution for his testimony of Christ, he understood, even if he was the only one, he understood the importance of the Lord's day. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulations and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called," the island that is called Patmos, "for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." He was placed there all by himself for that reason. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." If no one else acknowledges Sunday as being the most important day of the week, listen to me, every one of us ought to be determined to say, Sunday is a day that God has established, the most important day of the week, and I'm going to spend it worshiping him. The resurrection established the importance of first day of the week. Good thing that John did that, because that's when Christ met with him. And as he met with him, he gave him the insight into the revelation, future events for the church to understand. Wow. If you're not meeting with Jesus on a regular basis, listen to me, you will be troubled and you will have wrong thinking. All of the apostles, there are no new apostles, amen? Jesus established the apostles. The apostolic age lasted as long as the last apostle was alive. At the death of the last apostle was the end of the apostolic age. Now we have the completion of the word of God. And with that which is perfect has come, that which was in part shall be done away with. Amen. No more need for signs and wonders. No more need for speaking in tongues. We have the completion of the full revelation of the words of God. Amen. Wow. We assemble ourselves together so that we might confirm our belief in a resurrected Savior every week. If we are not, we will not be thinking right concerning Jesus and the Scriptures, the very words of God. I love people to have questions as long as they ask them. Everybody has questions, but not everybody asks them. Amen? for fear of foolishness, for fear of not wanting to hear the right answer. Because once you have truth, then you're going to be accountable to the truth that you have, that has been revealed to you. Questions. Is the church of man or of God? We know the church, according to the scriptures, is the body of Christ. Christ being the head of the body, which is the church, the Bible says. We know that as the body, we have a location. There are local called out assemblies where God has established local New Testament churches to where they are to come for the very same reason that the disciples met with the Lord on the day of resurrection. For the very same purpose, because without that, there's going to be confusion and we're going to be more influenced by the world than we are by the things of God. A person who is not hearing the truth is more apt to believe the lies of the devil. Think about how often you avail your mind to the philosophies of the world. If you've not recognized it, if you're watching any kind of public television, they are there to set you on their agenda. They're trying to influence you with whatever TV show that you're watching, whatever movie that might come out of Hollywood. Can I tell you, they have an agenda, and that agenda is to get you to think the way they want you to think. And if that's what we are looking to, if that's what we are following after, listen to me, we're more apt to believe the lies of the devil because you're not listening to the truth from the Word of God. Just a matter of a few days, the disciples, it's Peter said, I'll die for you. Any minute. And that night, that very day, he denied him three times. Wow. He was confused and in doubt over who Jesus was until Christ met with him. You see, the answer to is the church of man or God, I think it's found right in the Bible. If you look over with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm not going to be long this morning, but there's a powerful truth here that we need to be aware of. You see, the Lord's day was not established by man. The church was not established by man. Jesus established the church, and he, in his resurrection, established the Lord's day as being the first day of the week. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, Peter writes here and he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter, being one of the apostles who wrote this book, this letter, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him heal the blind. We saw him die and resurrect. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice. We heard the voice of God telling us he was his son. When there came a voice, such a voice from to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We're living in a very dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. It's for all of us. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The answer. There are a lot of many religious groups that's following man and following philosophy. But the true church was established by Jesus Christ, and it follows his word. Genuine Christianity must follow the example of Jesus Christ. Genuine Christianity must look to the Bible as the authority by which they stand. Wow. His church is a church of man or of God. Jesus established it. It's based upon Him and the authority of His Word. Question, one more. Who should go to church? You might be wondering, why am I in this church today? Answer. See, is a church primarily for the saints or is it for sinners? If you're a saint, he's going to say, you don't need to go to church, you're already saved. If you're a sinner, the devil's going to keep you from church. The devil's going to say, hey, you're too bad, you can't go to church. You're too sinful. You see, Satan's going to do anything and everything he can to keep you from walking into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church every Sunday, because that's God's will. That's what we have need of to keep right thinking and not to be troubled. So if you're someone saved, the devil's going to say, hey, you got it, you don't need it. He's going to preach the same thing anyway. You know what the preacher's going to preach. You could do a better job yourself. Now, I don't know too many people would have that thinking, you know. Because too many people are afraid to get up in front of anybody. You won't even walk the aisle because you don't want to be embarrassed. Amen. But the idea there is, no, you don't need church. You can have church at home. You can read your Bible. You can get as much out of reading your Bible as you can out of going to Sunday school and going to church. And the devil's going to fool you. Trick you into believing it's not for you. It's for those sinners. All them, they need to go to church. They better go to church, man. They're such sinners. And the sinners, the devil's going to try to say, no. You'd be the only one there. Because there's only saints that go to church. How many thought that when you first came to church, thinking, wow, all these godly people. How long did it take you to have a huge revelation? When you went to sit down, that person said, get out of my seat. That's my seat. You don't need to be there. Yeah. No, it's just not for sinners. It is for sinners. It's just not for saints. It is for saints. It's for everyone. The answer, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you want the truth, then you need to be in church to hear the truth being preached. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. See, the house, the church is referred to as the house of God, the house of prayer, the place of worship, a place to be baptized, a place to be discipled, a place for preaching, a place for sinners to get right with God. So who should attend? Anyone who does not want to be troubled and have wrong thinking about God. You don't want to have right thinking toward God and heaven? Don't go to church. The world will definitely persuade your thinking. But there's going to be trouble in your life. So anyone who wants to have right thinking Anyone who wants to know the truth would want to go to the house of God, because there is a God. We want to go to the house of prayer because we need to learn about prayer. Place of worship because we need to bow down before a holy God. A place to be baptized because I need to publicly identify with my Savior once I've had put my faith in Him. A place to be discipled because God wants me to know everything that He has written down for me to know. The Bible is the very mind of God. A place for preaching. Every time you come, we're going to open the Bible. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, when I preach, the Spirit of God is going to help you to have an understanding of the Scriptures. A place for sinners to get right with God. This is Easter, and praise the Lord for this day. But Jesus, through Easter, established a weekly day for us to assemble ourselves together for this purpose. The most important day of the week, established by God, is the very first day of the week. And it is known as the Lord's Day. Oh, how we need it. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise the Lord for what you have been exposed to today. In the congregational singing, there's a message in every congregational song we sing. Every special that you heard today had a message that I believe the Spirit of God wanted to use to encourage your faith, to help you to turn away from wrong thinking and be troubled. God wants you to replace that troubled mind with peace and joy and gladness. Oh, how we need to commit ourselves to the day that Jesus established. Father, we bow before you this morning. We do love you and thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day. Thank you for each and every one that has taken advantage of the opportunity for them to come. And I pray, God, that now through all that they have been exposed to through the services, I pray that you would use that and speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. There might be someone here that's lost on the way to a devil's hell. Reality is, without Jesus Christ, all of us would go to a devil's hell. But help each one here to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're on their way to heaven because they've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's someone here that needs to be saved. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Whatever other commitments, whatever decisions, I pray that we would make them right now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.